السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد. Subject matter that we're going to talk about, as mentioned here, taqwa sababu kulli khayr. That taqwa is the cause of all that which is good. This is an important subject matter to talk about, since that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, after saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he says يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, كتب عليكم الصيام, fasting has been prescribed upon you, كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, as it was prescribed on those who came before you, لعلكم تتقون, so that perhaps you may obtain taqwa. And we was here last time, barakallahu fiqh. We was here last time giving the khutbah. We talked about the definition of taqwa. Generally, it's fi'lu awamir wa turkin nawahi, doing that which you have been commanded and leaving that which you have been prohibited. This is taqwa. Of course, that is doing ma yajibu alayna min al-fara'id, doing that which is obligatory upon us from the obligations. That which is obligatory upon us in the religion of Islam, and leaving all that which we've been prohibited from. But that's supposed to yu'addi ila khayr, or have the khayr yu'addi ila khayr an akhar. That good is supposed to lead to more good. This is what taqwa is. It's the goodness of doing what you've been commanded, which is that which is obligatory, which leads you to doing that which is nawafil, that which is supererogatory upon you to do. Perfecting that which is obligatory, that leads you to doing that which is voluntary for you to do. And making that your habit. And likewise, staying away from what you've been prohibited. Tarkun nawahi. Leaving off that which Allah has prohibited you from, that's something that's supposed to lead you to, after you have perfected, leaving the haram, making ijtinab, staying distant from the haram, that which has been prohibited. That khayr of doing that is supposed to lead you to more khayr. And the khayr that leads you to is the khayr of tarkul makruhat, leaving that which is disliked in Islam, or that which is doubtful, shubahat, things that are doubtful in the religion. This is the deen of Islam. This is what taqwa is. One of the salaf we mentioned in the khutbah, Ibn Maymun, he made a statement that taqwa is that you make between you and Allah subhanahu, or that you, taqwa, a person can, rajul inna rajula la yakunu taqiyyan, that a person does not become a person of taqwa, not until after he's ashaddu ala nafsihi muhasabatan, that he's more severe in taking account of himself, min ash-shariq li shariki, then the partner is with his partner, like a business partner is with his business partner. You know, especially when you're counting up the money, you're going to be saying on top of your partner, make sure you get your share. That a person haven't become taqi till he has taken account of himself in a more intense manner than a partner is with his own partner. So he's able to ask himself where his clothing come from, where his food come from, where his everything, all his earnings come from. He questioned this. So all of it is halal. This is the other thing. He says, هذا أشد الدلائل He said that is the most, or adallu dalail. He said that is the most proving proof upon the taqwa. So this is a fear that we're supposed to seek in Ramadan, to obtainment of taqwa, the obtainment of the mercy of Allah. So when the question comes up of the title of this particular gathering, Life After Ramadan, that life after Ramadan, we first have to ask, what was your life before Ramadan? The life that you assumed during Ramadan, that will determine whichever life will be after Ramadan. Because we're supposed to enter the month of Ramadan making talab al-taqwa, the seeking of taqwa, seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's our objective. And to obtain this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricted the jamayan al-shaytan, the flowing of shaytan in our body. By us fasting makes it easier for us to do acts of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the gates of hell are locked. And I heard the ulama say that the gates of hell being locked, meaning, has become facilitated to stay away from the prohibited things. It's easier in Ramadan, because the shaykh, the mudathil jinn, the most rebellious of the jinn, are locked up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He made clear that the gates of paradise are open. Right? Futihat abwab al-jannah, that the gates of paradise are open. Why? And other ulama have explained that the gates of paradise are open, meaning has been made easy for you doing what you've been commanded. So that you can earn taqwa. That's the definition of taqwa, right? So this hadith directly coincides with the definition of taqwa. Allah making staying away from the haram easier for you. Doing what you've been commanded easier for you in Ramadan. So that you can obtain a high level of taqwa through your fasting and your qiyam, your standing in the night. This is what we, this is our objective. So you have this high level of worship. Your fasting is, as we mentioned last time, Sheikh Uthaymeen says, "Huwa tarku al-mahbub," leaving off that which is beloved, "liridha al-mahbub," to make pleasing, or to please the one who is loved by us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our objective from taqwa, of our fasting. Nothing else, because otherwise your fasting turns into nothing but atish wa ju'a, thirst and hunger, wa sahar. And your standing in the night becomes nothing but sleeplessness. The objective of it is obtain doing more of what you've been commanded and avoiding more of what you've been prohibited. So now Ramadan is over. We have reached the end of Ramadan. That is upon us to evaluate ourselves in our life after Ramadan. To evaluate and obtain the taqwa. Because there are signs that we're going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala, to tell you whether or not you obtain your objective from your fasting. Or there are signs for us to show us whether or not our fasting was maqbool. Is it, was it accepted or ghayru maqbool, or it wasn't accepted, or it's mardood, it's rejected? There's telltale signs, and our actions are the signs of whether or not our fasting was accepted from us, or any of our good deeds are accepted from us. This is what we have in our religion. For every single thing that you do, and you're obligatory, you usually have sunnatun qabliya, وَسُنَّةٌ بَعْدِيَةٌ سُنَّةٌ رَوَاتِبَ قَبْلِيَةٌ وَسُنَّةٌ رَوَاتِبَ بَعْدِيَةٌ. We have established sunnahs that go before an obligatory, an obligation, and an established sunnah that goes after the obligations that are upon us. Like your obligatory prayers, we have established sunnahs before the fajr. We have established sunnahs for your dhuhr, your asr, your maghrib, your isha. That the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the hadiths that if you establish these rawatib, these established sunnahs of your obligatory prayer, you will enter the paradise. Or have a house in paradise. Or as he has said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Ramadan has sunnatun rawatib. It has established sunnahs that's before it, that obligatory fast, and established sunnahs after it for that obligatory fast. The established sunnahs before the fast of Ramadan are the sunnahs of the fasting in the month of Shawwal, the month of Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made clear that there is a month, a shahr, بين Rajab or Ramadan, يَغْفُلُ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That there's a month that's come between the month of Rajab and Ramadan, that many of the people are heedless in this month, meaning they're heedless to take advantage of what is in that month of the virtues of fasting. And that is fasting in this month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he was asked, when it was described that he fasts in some narration, الشهر كله, that he fasts the whole month. Some of that narration said, مُعْذَمُ, he fasts majority of the month. Then when he was asked why, he said that these in the month of Sha'ban is raised up to Allah. And I love to be fasting when my deeds are raised up to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are, the ulama said, these are the sunnatul rawatib al-qabliyah. These are the established sunnahs before Ramadan, in preparing for Ramadan. Likewise, they are established sunnahs for us to do after the month of Ramadan. And then, of course, fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. Of Shawwal, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where he said, Man sama Ramadana, that whoever fasted the month of Ramadan, فَأَتْبَعَهُ ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهُ سِتًّا مِنْ شَوَالٍ, and he follows it up with 6 days of the month of Shawwal, كَانَ كَسَوْمِ الدَّهْرِ. He says, if he has fasted the whole year. And this hadith is tremendous, because there's something important that we need to know, brothers. We're going to get a little fiqhi here with this class we're going to have today. Some important fiqh lessons we need to know in relation to fasting these 6 days, and what we look for and what is upon us after the month of Ramadan, as Ibn Rajab and other than him have explained to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made for us in this month that when we enter this month of Ramadan, or the month that we have passed of Ramadan, that it is obligatory for every deed that you complete, every deed or righteous act that we do, it is considered as a ni'mah, a bounty from Allah. As Allah Ta'ala says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, I have completed for you my bounty. Now, afwan. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have completed for you your bounty. So everything that Allah has legislated is a ni'mah from Allah. And every ni'mah that you complete, لَبُدْ لَهُ مِنْ شُكْرٍ, it is a must that you show gratitude for that bounty. Every ni'mah. That's why, as some of the salaf used to say, a ni'mah sayyid wa shukru qaydu, that every bounty is a hunt, a prey. Gratitude is its catch. Every bounty is a hunt, and gratitude is his catch. Like an individual who wants to hunt an animal, he knows he has to set up a trap to catch his prey, or use something to slow him down so he can get to him, because otherwise that prey going to do what? Is going to leave or disappear. This is how bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. They come and you catch them with gratitude. Otherwise they may pass you by, and that opportunity may not repeat itself again. Like the famous hadith of the two men who accepted Islam with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ibn Mundhir has narrated in his book, and Sheikh al-Albani has authenticated that these two men, aslama ma'a Rasulillah, that these two men had accepted Islam with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they witnessed the same thing, but one of them died as a martyr, and the next man had died a year later of natural causes. And Talha had saw these two men in a dream. And he saw the one who died a year later precede the one who died as a martyr and entering paradise. And he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked the Messenger of Allah, how is this? Because ta'ajjab, he was amazed by this. And the Messenger of Allah ta'ala had explained that did he not, alaysa yasumu Ramadan, did not he fast the month of Ramadan? That the one who died as a martyr didn't get a chance to do in that year, extra year that he lived, Did he not pray sittata alaf kadha wa kadha rak'atan, yani salatu sana, that he prayed 6,000 something, such and such and such and such rak'at, so units of prayer, meaning a year worth of prayer? And then the Messenger of Allah went on to explain the difference between the two of them. The two of them is like the distance of that which is between the heavens and the earth. He preceded the martyr in paradise because he reached Ramadan. This shows this ni'matun tamma, that this is a complete bounty of Allah, jasima, that is tremendous, of Ramadan. So this bounty that this sahabi had preceded his companion in entering paradise. So this is a tremendous bounty from Allah that you may not catch. Bounties that must be caught with gratitude. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Ramadan, he directly explained that the gratitude for this month of Ramadan is to be met with, that this month, this bounty of Ramadan is supposed to be met with shukr. Soon as it's over. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, in order that you may complete the number of days of fasting. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, in order that you may glorify and magnify the praises of Allah upon what He has guided you on. Why? It's after Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be grateful. Surah Al-Baqarah. So with Allah Ta'ala, He's defined that this bounty of fasting in this month of Ramadan that has passed, that when you complete it, that bounty must be met with gratitude. And Ibn Rajab has shown these affairs. And this is also one of the signs when you find that after you left Ramadan, that you lead you to doing more good, that is a clear sign that your Ramadan was accepted by Allah. Inshallah ta'ala. As we're going to see, Ibn Rajab, talking about the virtues of the month of Shawwal, he mentions these realities. He says, إِنَّ السِّيَامَ سِتَّ أَيَامِ الشَّوَالِ بَعْدُ رَمَضَانِ يَسْتَكْمِلُ بِهَا أَجْرُ السِّيَامِ الدَّهْرُ كُلُّ وَيُسْتَكْمَلُ بِهَا أَجْرُ السِّيَامِ الدَّهْرُ كُلُّ. That he says, fasting in the 6 days of Shawwal, after the month of Ramadan, is a completion. By way of that fasting, of those 6 days, the reward of fasting of a whole year, as we all know. That's number one. Number two, أَنَّ السِّيَامَ الشَّوَالِ وَشَعْبَانِ, that fasting in the month of Shawwal and Sha'ban, that which is those sunnahs that is established, as we mentioned before, Sha'ban, the fasting of it before Ramadan, are the established sunnahs before Ramadan, for that obligatory fast. And the fasting of the month of Shawwal is the sunnah to ratiba, the established sunnah for after the month of Ramadan, that has been established in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ibn Rajab has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Likewise, that fasting is to help complete that obligatory fasting that you did in Ramadan, just like your salawat, like on a day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established that if you fell short in anything that is obligatory upon you in Ramadan, that it will be for you, the angels will be ordered to look towards your sunnatul rawatib, or your rawatib, your obligatory, established sunnahs, to look to them to complete what you fell short in your obligatory. Likewise is this for fasting in the month of, in the 6 days of Shawwal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and follows it up with good deeds, or like the fasting of the 6 days of Shawwal, Ibn Rajab said, "Hadhi alama ala qabuli sawmi Ramadan," that this is a clear sign of the acceptance of one fasting in Ramadan. Fa inna Allah ta'ala idha taqabbala 'amala 'abdin, that when Allah ta'ala, that truly Allah, when He accepts a deed of a slave of His, وَفَقَهُ لِعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ بَعْدَ, that Allah grants him success of doing a righteous deed after that obligatory thing, or after that particular deed was accepted by Allah. It will lead him to doing more good. It will lead him to doing more khayr. That's a sign that your deed is accepted. This is why Ibn Baz, when he was asked, how do you know your hajj was mabrur, was accepted? He said, it leads you to doing good. That'll be a sign that it was accepted by Allah. based off of these realities. And this is for all worship that we do. If we want to see the signs of it being accepted by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah will grant you the success of doing more good. But this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his ibad. كَمَا قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ As some of the salaf have said, ثَوَابِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا That the reward for a good deed is a good deed after it. فَمَنَ عَمِلَ حَسَنَةٍ That whoever does a good deed, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهَا بِحَسَنَةٍ بَعْدَهَا كَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَامَةٍ عَلَى قُبُولِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْأُولَى That Ibn Rajab says, that whoever follows up a good deed, right, with another good deed after it, then that is a clear sign of the acceptance of the first good deed. كَمَا أَنَّ مَنَ عَمِلَ حَسَنَةً ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهَا بِسَيِّئَةٍ كَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَامَةَ رَدِّ الْحَسَنَةِ وَعَدَمَ قَبُولِهَا That he said, Ibn Rajab, just as the individual who does a good deed, and then he sees himself following up that good deed with an evil one, then that is a sign that his good deed that he did was rejected, and the lack of its acceptance. Of the virtues of fasting in this 6 days, which it shows the life after Ramadan, أَنَّ الصِّيَامُ رَمَضَانَ يُوجِبُ مَغْفِرَةً مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ That fasting in the month of Ramadan necessitates the forgiveness of what has preceded of sins, like we previously mentioned. And indeed, the people who are fasting for Ramadan, they're going to get the reward for their fasting, a reward, right? They will give the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their fasting on the day of Fitr, the day of the Eid. The day of the Eid. The day of the Eid is when the reward, that's why Allah mentioned in the previous ayah. So that you can complete those number of days, and you will, in order that you may glorify the praises of your Lord upon what he has guided you upon, so that perhaps you may be grateful. But that is clear. Ibn Rajab says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward at the end of Ramadan for what an individual has done to fast. And that gratitude should be followed up with that. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, he used to stand until his feet swole up. And the companion saw this, like, why are you doing this, O Messenger of Allah, when Allah has forgiven you of what has preceded of your, what has passed of your sins and what will be proceed of your sins? And what did he respond with? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبَدًا شَكُورًا Should I not be a grateful servant? Should I not be a grateful servant? عَبْدًا شَكُورًا For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded all of his servants with showing gratitude to the bounty of fasting in the month of Ramadan by making obvious his praise of Allah. When we say Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Allah Ta'ala ordered us to do this, praising Him. Likewise, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala ordered us to show gratitude so that we may obtain gratitude from Him. And fasting in the month of Ramadan, we aid it, the forgiveness of our sins, by following that fast up with some gratitude to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. As some of the Salaf, this is what they used to do. For example, whenever the Salaf used to be granted success of praying the Qiyamul Layl, the night prayer, and what they would do when they woke up in the morning, they would follow that Qiyamul Layl with fasting. They would follow that fasting and that praying in the night with fasting in the morning. So that will be the gratitude that to Allah for the bounty. That fasting be gratitude to Allah for the bounty He bestowed upon them of being able to perform that bounty of praying in the night. This is how many of the Salaf used to do. And they used to look at that as success from Allah when they followed up that standing in the night with that fasting. Because as we said previously, that the individual, that when he does a good deed and a sign that good deed has been accepted, that he follows that good deed up with some gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the sign that good deed is accepted. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith we mentioned previously about the person who will come with good deeds on the day of judgment, equal to that of the mountains of Tihama, pure and white. And Allah will make them like scattered dust on the day of judgment. Why? Because when they was alone with the prohibitions of Allah, they violated them. Because that's the sign that your deeds is not accepted. When you did your good and it's followed up with evil deeds. Look at the penniless person that we mentioned before. His deeds is rejected from him. They will be taken from him. His good deeds and given to the people he oppressed. Or the woman we mentioned who prayed, the prophet was said to her, she prayed by the night. She prays all night. She fasts all day. She gives a lot of charity. She taf'al wa taf'al. Yani, hiya inna fulana taqoom al-layla wa tasoom al-nahara wa tasaddaq wa taf'al wa taf'al. وَلَكِنَّهَا تُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this woman prays all night, was said to the Prophet, this woman prays all night, and she fasts all day. The woman prays all night, and she fasts all day. Right? And she gives a lot of charity. A lot, in abundance. تَصَدَّقْ. Man call it تَصَدَّقْ, call it تَصَدَّقْ. She gives a lot of charity. And she do this, and she does this, but she harms her neighbors with her tongue. So the Prophet said, so what's this case of this woman? The Prophet responded, لا خير فيها. She has no good in her. Well, here I'm in أهل النار. And she from the inhabitants of the hellfire. Why? Because it's the sign that her deeds are not accepted. Ibadah, the worship of Allah, is supposed to lead us to more good, not lead us to evil. And this is something that we all should evaluate and take account of our actions and our deeds and our sincerity to Allah behind what we do and making sure it is in congruence with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the Salaf, that's what their actions were. They used to follow up good. That's why the Salaf, they used to be afraid that when they did good deeds, that it wasn't accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he used to do a lot of good deeds, and at the end of the deed, waqa alayhim ham, nima. They will fall upon their breasts, stress about the deed. But why? Stress will fall upon their hearts because they knew Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That Allah only accepts from the people of taqwa. He only accepts from the people of taqwa. They feared they might not be of those people. So they followed up their good deed with more good deeds. And this was a sign of perhaps it being accepted by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Like Allah described the Sahabas like this in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْا, that they gave on top of what they gave. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, and their hearts was fretful that they was returning back to Allah. This is how the Sahaba was, and this is what is upon us. But many of our brothers, unfortunately, and sisters, we do our deeds and we act like we just know that they've been accepted by Allah. We don't look for the determination of that our own actions. This is why many of the Salaf, like Salman al-Farisi, when he was written, a letter was written to him from Abu Darda for him to come to make migration with him to Quds, to the Holy Land in Jerusalem. He wrote back to him, لا تقدسوا الأرض. No land purifies, makes no one holy. ولكن العمل يقدس. But it's the deeds that purifies us. Likewise, the praise of the ulama for an individual. That doesn't mean nothing, because there's many people who've been praised by the ulama that have gone astray. Many. But evaluating the actions is the determination of your purification. Look at your last deed to determine how your worth, brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam. And this is what the Salaf used to do. Used to stop at the end of the day and evaluate their actions, what it led to, what it caused them to do. Did my good lead to me doing more good or vice versa? The Salaf used to evaluate themselves and determine the worth of them through their own actions. And this is what is upon us. So your determination or your life after Ramadan is to look first to see if your fast was maqbula or mardood. Maqbula or mardood, is was accepted or rejected. By looking at what you follow it up with. Did you go back to the cigarette after Ramadan? Did you go back to the alcohol, to the fornication after Ramadan? Or did you find yourself أَقْرَبُ إِلَى فِعْلِ الطَّاعَاتِ, closer to doing that which you have been commanded?
and more distant from the ma'asi wal munahi. You find yourself more distant from disobedience and the prohibitions. This is how we determine and deal with ourselves. This is why Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he la la tusaddiq al-rajul. Don't confirm no person what they say to you. Hatta tara amalahu, until you see his deeds, tuwafiq al-sunnah, that his actions agree with the sunnah. This is the yardstick that we use to choose and put people in charge and leadership and like this. We make this determination according to, does his actions agree with the sunnah? We don't just be satisfied that he can entertain us or he can quote kathratu riwayat, a lot of narrations. But we look into the actions of that individual. Is that in his actions? Is that in his behavior? What do his actions indicate? Anta sahibul ilm. You're a person of knowledge. Ain't dhalika fi samtika. Where is that in your quietness? Ain't dhalika fi kalamika. Where is that in your speech? Ain't dhalika fi taharrukika, in your movement. Where is that in your movement? Wa julusika, in your sitting. Wa sakanatik, in your tranquil moments. Where is the signs of the sunnah like this? This is what we look for. And if we determine and dealt with each other like this, subhanallah, asbahna muta'amiruna, muta'aminina bil ma'ruf. We will become people who order each other with the good. Mutanahina bil munkar, and prohibit each other from the evil. That will be our habit. Why? Because we use that yardstick, as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, when the revelation was come down, as come in Sahih Bukhari, that we didn't use to question and check each other. Because if a person was wrong, revelation would come and correct. But when the revelation ceased, we looked at the actions. And if it agreed with the sunnah, we accepted it from them. If it didn't, we rejected it from them. Like this is how we're supposed to be with one another. Like this is what we are with our own selves. And this is important for us to use this same yardstick for determining the worth of us. Don't be happy and be pleased until you meet Allah Ta'ala. Evaluate your good deeds to see if it's following up with more good. By first making sure you're doing that obligatory good of what Allah obligated upon you in your religion. Of seeking knowledge of that which is upon you to do, of doing what Allah has commanded you, of going to the masajid, raising your family, ordering your children to pray in the masjid. Like we see many of the brothers, unfortunately, we'll take our children to a sports event or to an activity, but we won't take them to the masjid or to a class of knowledge, as if that's going to save them from the hellfire. Like this, so these affairs, we determine our worth in this fashion. So life after Ramadan is based on how well you obtained that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. So it is upon everyone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been granted the success of doing a deed to follow it up with gratitude. So that can be the sign for you of the acceptance of that deed. And it will be an aid upon you with every bounty that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon you. But this is the religion of Allah. And we know we can never show enough gratitude to the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon us. We can never do enough to what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has bestowed upon us of good deeds. This is why none of us will be entered into Jannah because of our deeds. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the entrance of us to Jannah is through His mercy. Even the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his deeds didn't enter him in the prayer, but it's the mercy of Allah. And many of us have to understand this reality, because Allah Ta'ala, if He chose to deal with us with His justice, none of us would deserve the entrance of paradise. Because His justice would necessitate to give us the reward for the bounties He has given us based on the gratitude we return back to Him for that bounty. And never can the gratitude that we do can match the bounties that He has given us. So therefore, it's upon us as servants of Allah to serve Allah with much fear and much hope, and realize that it's not the deeds of none of us that enters in the paradise, as we mentioned in Jum'ah yesterday, the famous hadith of the messenger of the man who worshipped Allah for 500 years on the mountain. He worshipped Allah 500 years with no distraction, no wife, no children, no anything. Like many of us, we have distractions, work, wife, children, responsibilities, on top of doing what we've been commanded. This man had none of these distractions. He worshipped Allah for 500 years. And this individual, Allah Ta'ala caused him to die. And on the day of judgment, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man will be told to be placed in paradise, min rahmati, from my mercy, Allah will say to him. And the man will say, oh Allah, min ibadati khamsu mi'am, no, for my worship of 500 years. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say, okay, he will order that his good deeds of 500 years of worship. And remember, this 500 years of worship with no distraction in it, like we have, placed on one side of the scale. And Allah Ta'ala took the bounty of his basar, of his eyesight, and placed it on the other side of the scale. And the bounty of his basar outweighed his eyesight, outweighed his worship of 500 years. And Allah says, put him in the hellfire, min adli, for my justice. And he says, Ya Rab, min rahmatik, oh my Lord, from your mercy, oh my Lord, from your mercy. Like this. So this to the point, some of the Salaf, I heard Shaykh al-Islam Hafidhullah say, that is narrated from some of the Salaf and looking in the heavy understanding that they had of this religion. That whenever they used to be mazloom, or dhulamahum ahadun, or someone oppressed them, they would make dua against their oppressor. Ya Rab, amilhu bi'adlik, wa la tu'amilhu bi'rahmatik. Oh Allah, deal with him with your justice. Do not deal with him with your mercy. And this is what is upon us, brothers, to understand that our worship, our deeds is not interest, but our deeds is a cause to earn the mercy of Allah. When it's mixed with much gratitude, gratitude comes about with love, with the feeling of appreciation of what you've been given. It's different. Shukr is different from hamd. Shukr, gratitude, is different from praise. Praise you can do with your tongue. And you person can do that out of fear. That, you know, you have to, like in some of the Muslim countries, you can't get on television except you got to praise the ruler. You get on, you have to speak good about him. Right? It's not necessary that he means this gratefulness or this thanks to his ruler. But he's saying this because he has to. So hamd, praise, can be, is different from shukr. Gratitude is something that's done with your tongue, that initiated from your heart, and you show it with your limbs. Someone give you something kind and gentle, or do some kindness to you, or some goodness to you, you really appreciate it. You feel the gratitude of that thing in your breast. And that thing pushes you to make you want to thank him, and stick your hand out and shake his hand. Hug that brother. Your gratefulness to Allah, it's like this. You feel the greatness of that ni'mah that Allah has given you of Islam. That ni'mah of ibadah. So you return it with much gratefulness. You feel in your breast that's connected to love. Connected to love. Even the name of Allah, Allah, comes from the word wilah, as some of the ulama have explained. And wilah means love. Allah Ta'ala is worshipped with this love. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is worshipped with love and fear. And like this is how the servant is. So shukr, this gratitude to Allah, we do this with fervor, with excitement, with love, with passion. Like this. Shukr. And it is important for us to understand that. This is why one of the things we have to understand that lead us to this type of shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is realizing the bounties that you have. Reflecting over what Allah has bestowed upon you that you can really never enumerate. As Allah Ta'ala teaches us this in the Sayyidu Istighfar, the leading supplication of seeking forgiveness that we're supposed to say after Fajr and after Asr. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika alay. I am fully aware of your bounties upon me. Wa abu'u bi dhanbi. And I'm aware of my sin. Being aware of the bounties of Allah pushes you to seek it, show gratitude to those bounties, pushes you to do more khair, to do more good. And that's the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same token, you say, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, that I'm fully aware of my sin. Wa abu'u bi dhanbi, faghfirli, so I beg you to forgive me. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. But there's no one who forgives sins except you. So the person, the slave, he comes to Allah, as Ibn Qayyim says in Al-Wabil Sayyid, he comes to Allah with these two wings. His travel to Allah with these two wings. The wing of being, of seeing the bounties of Allah that leads him to gratitude and more worship. And the wing of being aware of his sin that pushes him to repentance, pushes him to return back to Allah, becoming munib, mukhbitan, making him a person who constantly returns back to Allah. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And return back to your Lord and submit to him as Allah ordered us in the Quran. The believer becomes like this. He becomes awab, a person who always returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like this. He travels to Allah, Ibn Qayyim said, with these two wings. If a bird loses one of his wings, he cannot continue on his journey. He will die. And for us, that's the death of our qulub, of our hearts. Like one of the salaf said, I'm amazed how the people acted the death of the people when those individuals' heart died a long time ago. Like this, we have to understand our affairs when it comes to our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to guard ourselves from the evilness of our own selves by approaching our worship with this in this manner. Being aware of your sin, knowing how that sin will ruin your hereafter, knowing how your sin will destroy, can destroy your guidance. Because sins, it snatch away from you your intellect. Sins rip away from you the honoring of knowledge and respecting it and seeking it and giving it high esteem. Sins causes you to not even feel the effects of the sin and not allow you to see what it has led you to do. So a person who reflects over his sin, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the individual, as we mentioned yesterday, the salaf, they used to sit, as one of the salaf said, I think it was Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He said to one of his companions, have you ever sat by yourself and thought about the knowledge that Allah has about you and cried over that? As the salaf used to say stuff like this. And when a man said this, when he said this to his companion, he said, you have destroyed all the good that I ever had. When he said this to him. And this is how we approach our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask yourself, have we ever done this? Sat alone and thought about the knowledge that Allah have about you. That's thinking about your sins. That's thinking about the reality of yourself. And that leads that individual to say, abu'u laka, abu'u bi dhanbi. I'm aware of my sin. Just like he says, abu'u bi ni'matika alay. And I'm aware of your bounties upon me. That we can never enumerate. And that we never can show enough gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for them. So this is why, this is the virtue of fasting in the month of Shawwal. Taking advantage of this tremendous time. So, this is why you find that the Salaf, when they used to ask, some people would say, we should ask about, what do you think about your reward? Say, لا تسألوا عن ثوابي. Don't ask about the reward. Don't ask about the reward that you're going to get. ولكن سألوا ما الذي على من وفق لهذا العمل من الشكر. He said, but I ever asked the question, has this individual has been granted the success to show gratitude for the deed that he's asking the bounty about? That's the question we should ask. As the Salaf used to say, Rahimahum Allah. Because the reality of shukr, of gratitude, haqiqatu shukr, al-i'tiraf bil-ajasi an shukr, is the ability to be aware of you are incapable of really giving true gratitude. Like, Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I be grateful to you if the thing I'm showing gratitude to you for, you granted me the ability to give you, to give you, to show that gratitude. And you gave me the thing that I'm using to give you gratitude. So how am I really showing you gratitude? And Allah Ta'ala told him, you being aware of that. And that's the reality, brothers. When you realize everything you have is from Allah and that you're nothing without Allah. Many of us be pleased with the actions of ourselves and the capability of ourselves and the beauty of ourselves, the speech of ourselves, but don't realize that's nothing. Allah gave you that, and you're nothing if you don't use it for Allah, to please Allah, in agreement with what He's commanded. Realize that you mamluk, that you owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're a possession of Him. This is the believer who's maqhur, who's marbub, who's been subjugated, conquered. He realized his defeat of Allah upon him. The defeating Allah has defeated him, has conquered him like this. So when the servant reached this level of understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes the zamamu qalbihi. وَقِيَادُ نَفْسِهِ وَيُلْقِيهِمَا إِلَى رَبِّهِ, that he seizes, he takes the rein of his heart, the rein of his heart, the thing that's controlling his heart, he seizes it, and the rope of his soul and his desires, and he throws it towards his Lord. حَتَّى يُصَرِّفَهُ حَيْثُ يَشَى وَأَيْنَ يَشَى, so that Allah can dispose of that soul how he wants, and that carcass how he wants. Like this is the servant, like Ibn Qayyim says, of the servant who make al-istikhara to his Lord for making decisions in his face, he become greater than the angels because they don't make a move without Allah ordering them. The servant who does istikhara, he does the same thing. So the servant who has truly submitted to the commandments of Allah and His Messenger, who's truly submitted to what Allah and His Messenger has legislated, Allah